to the official podcast for St. Philip's Episcopal Church in Rochester, Michigan. You can learn more about our church at our website, stpfeeds.org. Our Sunday services are at 8 and 10 a.m., and all are welcome. This podcast is the sermon for Sunday, May 19th, 2019, by Eric Williams.
Of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. I love this time of year. It feels like it's been 3 years waiting for winter to be over, but finally the trees are blossoming, that explosion of color and smell that just reminds us of new life. My neighborhood is overrun with baby rabbits. I feel like I'm living in Watership Down. I have to be careful on my bike that I don't run over them as they dash across the path. But it's wonderful. New life, new things are the theme of our scriptures today. We have all kinds of newness going on. We have this new commandment that Jesus offers in John's gospel. We have in Revelation the vision that John had of new heavens and a new earth. We've got all kinds of new things happening in our families at this time of year, too. We've got graduations and summer jobs and marriages and baptisms and confirmations. There's new stuff happening all the time. And that causes a slight problem if you are someone like me. Because while I love everything to be new, I also always want everything to stay the same. I'm very excited for the new life that my daughter is embarking on in college, but I really don't want her to leave home. If I could trap her, imprison her at home, and make her take classes online, I was trying to tell her, she's been working at Starbucks, and you know, Starbucks will pay for your college online through the University of, I think it's Arizona or Arizona State. It's like, think of the money you could save. You could live at home, take classes online, work at Starbucks. She was not having any of it. She's going to Los Angeles to college, as far away as she could possibly pick. So I want to share with you, I'm in a little bit of an emotional state between what's new and wonderful and what is changing. Change is hard for us. Change is hard for us as humans because while we love to embrace new things, change is unsettling. In order to embrace something new, we often have to give up something that is familiar. We are saying goodbye to three of our members this week. Three people who died. Elaine Roberts, our dear sister in Christ, 99 years old. I was telling her family that for me, she's one of those people who embraced life and lived life so fully right up to the end. I did not know when we picked the hymns for today that our first hymn would be a funeral hymn. And I was honestly having trouble getting through that hymn, thinking about her. It was a total coincidence or a God incidence that we sang that hymn as our opening hymn today. Our Revelation passage is one that is very often read at funerals because it speaks to us of our hope in the new life with God. And interestingly, this passage does not say that we're going away to heaven somewhere pie in the sky by and by. Revelation tells us, John's vision is that the new Jerusalem is coming down to earth, that God is remaking this world into the kingdom of God. See, I am making all things new. Darn it, I liked the old way. You know the old joke about Episcopalians? How many Episcopalians does it take to change a light bulb? There's several versions of this, but one is it takes one to change it and the rest to complain about how much better the old light bulb was. Several of our members went on Friday to hear from our bishop candidates for an amazing thing, and I was on the search committee, so I take full responsibility. All four are women. And so one of the questions that all of the candidates got in this section was, what are you going to do about those parishes or people within parishes who really have not yet adjusted to the idea of women clergy? They may not accept you as a woman bishop. What are you going to do? And I was very interested in the responses. One of them, and I can't remember which one, said something that really stuck with me. And that is that it is very important. One of the gifts that we have as Christians, and particularly as Episcopalians, is this idea of embracing the comprehensiveness of people's ideas. You don't have to be conservative or liberal to be in this church. You don't have to be one thing or another. We have room and space. We make space for difference in loving community. And she said, that's what I would want to do. I'd want to stay in relationship, to build relationship, and to create space for those differences. I really like that, because that's the way I see things as well, that we can create a holy space where there is room for our differences to exist within the context of a loving relationship. You know, there's a lot of new things that come along. Not all new things are great. Who here remembers, you have to be kind of old for this, who remembers New Coke? Yes, wasn't that great? I think that lasted about a month before Coca-Cola, after spending millions of dollars developing this product and marketing it, said, oops, that new thing didn't stick. But a lot of new things that come across our path, I think we need to be more open to. I'm going to read you a poem. I'm a huge fan of the poet Billy Collins, who was the poet laureate of the United States. And he wrote several poems, but this one I really like, about nostalgia. And I'll set this up for you. This is the deep nostalgia, the longing for the past, the way things used to be, from the perspective of a 10-year-old boy. The whole idea, this is on turning 10, the whole idea of it makes me feel like I'm coming down with something, something worse than any stomach ache or the headaches I get from reading in bad light, a kind of measles of the spirit, a mumps of the psyche, a disfiguring chicken pox of the soul. You tell me it's too early to be looking back. That is because you have forgotten the perfect simplicity of being one and the beautiful complexity introduced by two. But I can lie on my bed and remember every digit. At 4, I was an Arabian wizard. I could make myself invisible by drinking a glass of milk a certain way. At 7, I was a soldier. At 9, a prince. But now, I am mostly at the window, watching the late afternoon light. Back then, it never fell so solemnly against the side of the treehouse. And my bicycle never leaned against the garage as it does today, all the dark blue speed drained out of it. This is the beginning of sadness, I say to myself, as I walk through the universe in my sneakers. It's time to say goodbye to my imaginary friends, time to turn the first big number. It seems only yesterday I used to believe there was nothing under my skin but light. If you cut me, I could shine. But now, when I fall upon the sidewalks of life, I skin my knees, I bleed. The nostalgia of a 10-year-old boy. It seems to me, as Christians, that we need to be able to accept the new things that God is doing. We need to discern what they are. Not all new things are from God, but we need to be open to new things. This was the challenge that St. Peter faced as he was leading the new Christian church in its earliest days. He was raised and steeped in the traditions of Judaism. He knew that Gentiles could not be accepted into the fellowship. Jews could not eat with Gentiles. Gentiles could not become Christian unless they became Jewish first, circumcised according to the traditions of Abraham, according to the scriptures of the Old Testament. But then he saw something new. God gave him a vision, a sheet with clean and unclean animals coming down from heaven, and God's commandment to him, a new commandment, to kill and eat, and to accept Gentiles just as they were. He had to embrace this new revelation from God. But he was prepared to do that because he had spent 3 years following Jesus and watching Jesus do new things and say new things, to reach out in love across the barriers of race and religion and gender, to preach and to live the wonderful good news of God's kingdom. In Jesus, God was doing a brand new thing, a new revelation, God's kingdom open to all. And so Peter could take what he had learned from Jesus and apply it in this new way as a leader of the church. It was hard for him. It didn't happen all at once. It took time, and it had to be reflected upon by the early church. As I listened to our women candidates for bishop, I thought about the new things that we in the church have been asked to embrace over years and years and decades and decades. I think we need to always be in a state of continual discernment, listening for the voice of God, looking for the traces of God's Spirit, aware of how God is working in our church, working in our world, and working in our own lives and hearts and minds. And so today I want to ask you, where is God doing a new thing in your life? Where is God speaking to you, inviting you to take a leap of faith, or to embrace something that you had struggled with, or to reach out across some division in your workplace or family or community to experience God's love? In all this, we can be guided by the new commandment that Jesus gave. Almost his last words to his disciples at the Last Supper before he was betrayed and arrested and crucified, he said these words, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another." All of those commandments that we inherited, all those rules, all that fear-based faith is important in its own way, but it needs to be transcended by this ultimate commandment of love. How is God speaking love in your life? How is God inviting you to live and to speak love to one another?